I want to start this week by thanking so many of you who sent encouraging messages before and after I had the nerve-wracking privilege of preaching at the ecumenical service for the opening of the 2023 parliamentary year. It was a joy to have members of Benedictus and St Ninian's present in the congregation on Monday, and such a strengthening thing to know that we were, in a sense, doing it together. Those of you who heard or have read my reflection, it's on the Benedictus website, brief commercial, will know that I spoke on the theme of wisdom and how a wisdom way of knowing, a holistic kind of perceiving and responding, is connected to the opening of the heart, usually by way of the heart's breaking. And I went on to speak of how growing in wisdom, connecting to our hearts, is critical for our nation's capacity to respond at the necessary depth to the gift we have received of the statement from the heart, as well as truly to engage the crises of our age. The text I drew on was Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And so on. But I could also have drawn from the reading we just heard, from St. Paul's first letter to the early Christian community at Corinth. For he is onto the same paradox. The paradox that, in the spiritual life, in the truly human life, down is up, and the last shall be first. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. What's confusing about Paul's argument in this text is that he uses the word wisdom in two ways. When he says, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom, he's referring to what he later calls the wisdom of this world, human wisdom, the ways of thinking and communicating that we naturally think are going to make us powerful and impressive and effective in life. By contrast with this human so-called wisdom, however, there is what he calls the wisdom of God. This, quote, is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, but it is God's wisdom, secret and hidden. And what is this wisdom, secret and hidden? It is Christ crucified. It is the paschal mystery of death and resurrection. A little before our passage, Paul has written, the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, that is, to those who are seeking to live their lives according to the wisdom of this age. But he goes on, God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. Kind of following so far. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, who is to those who are called the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Well, this is one of those texts that inclines me to believe in the inspiration of Scripture. For though Paul's argument is typically convoluted, it is also utterly extraordinary. Who would have come up with this by themselves? As he writes, "We speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual." But what is he actually saying? For the enduring proclamation of the New Testament is that the crucifixion of Jesus and the collapse of all the hopes associated with him, which looked initially like abject failure, dishonour, and pointlessness, was actually the breakthrough into a whole new way of knowing and being in this world. By giving of himself freely, letting himself be handed over into the place of shame, rejection, powerlessness, terror, pain, and death, without bitterness or avoidance, Jesus forged a way and gave us confidence to follow with him into the darkest, most frightening and painful of our own life experiences. James Allison writes of how Jesus' acceptance of the way of the cross made habitable the place of shame, the place of fear and death. How? Because what started to become visible in the manner of his dying and in what happened afterwards is that there's a reality, a truth, a power that's not bound by the rulers of this age, or the limits of the finite order. Call it resurrection, call it grace. What looked like foolishness in Jesus' words and actions, totally unwise from the point of view of survival and worldly success, was thus the deliberate living out and making knowable of the most profound insight into the nature of things. The secret that Paul speaks of, the secret that's obscured by our instinctive, compulsive drive to secure ourselves against what Jesus suffered, against loss, against each other, against vulnerability, the secret is that actually we don't need to do that. Jesus has revealed that the reality in whom we live and move and have our being and into whom we die is inextinguishable love. This doesn't mean we don't suffer in life. In fact, we do sometimes, it feels beyond our capacity to bear. But it does mean that suffering is not the final word. And if, however haltingly and sorrowfully, we seek to keep open our hearts in the midst of our suffering, we will come to know for ourselves that wisdom, that insight, that understanding at the heart of things, which is compassion, mercy, and a peace beyond understanding, which is faith, hope, and love. This is the truth Paul has discovered in his own life and longs to make real to others. It's a truth that cannot be communicated in the abstract by, you know, being handed the textbook. It can only be shared and authenticated as we ourselves undergo the same counterintuitive dying into life. Which is why he knows he cannot communicate the mystery of God in lofty words or by means of his own credentials or success. It can only be spoken by one who has accepted their own vulnerability and weakness and discovered that it is in fact held, forgiven, beloved. That's why Paul is determined to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Well, I've been conscious over the past few weeks that many in our Benedictus community, many of you, are undergoing deep and painful things. Some are grieving for loved ones who have died or are dying. Some are in the midst of painful relationship breakdown. Some are dealing with the aftermath of abuse or suffering the losses and anxiety that come with aging and illness. And some are living with uncertainty about their own future as they look for work, for secure housing, for purpose and meaning. Christ crucified, to paraphrase Gerard Manley Hopkins, in 10,000 places. And around the world, there's the ongoing devastation of Ukraine, the catastrophic earthquake in Syria and Turkey, environmental collapse, and millions of people on the move in search of food, peace, a place to belong. The foolish wisdom of God seems, in the face of all this, a poor match for the power of this age. And yet it is the truth. It is ultimately the ground beneath our feet. So let us, conscious of our own and the world's weakness, need, fear and grief, turn once again to face the light of life. Let us open our hearts and invite the Spirit of the ever-living God to touch us and give us courage to go on.